unfortunate that you did not clarify what you were talking about.
You're listening
about
to Steve Argue speaking to Santa Cruz City Council on September 28th.
You did not consider the previous meeting before that to actually be a meeting where I did not
he
speak.
He was talking about and, the previous meeting when he was shut down and refused oral communication prospects and public comment. His mic was shut off, the televisions were turned off him, he was barred from the room.
Shut off the microphone and silenced me. At a time where I very likely could have been going to jail as a result of the actions, or prison as a result of the actions of your police force at the May 22nd police riot, where your police force brutally attacked a peaceful, even according to your own sergeant, Sergeant McMahon, a peaceful, nonviolent protest that was protesting against the war on Yugoslavia. As a result of that, and as a result of an unfair trial where the prosecution illegally withheld evidence, where the judge illegally refused to turn that evidence over, where key evidence and key testimony was not allowed in by a pro-prosecution judge, and where I unfortunately was burdened with an incompetent lawyer who did not argue my case. I was convicted on felony charges as a result of defending a woman and a child who were brutally attacked by officers of favor, a cop on your police force who has stated that it's that he personally wants to clean Santa Cruz, the Santa Cruz streets, of the scum. And when asked who the scum are, he says it's the political activists, it's the homeless, and the street musicians. And this cop was brutally attacking a woman at this demonstration. On the witness stand, he said he had her in a pain compliance hold that did not hurt. A pain compliance hold that did not hurt while he had a child in his arms. And he claimed that the woman, when she was screaming in pain, that she was acting. Well, as a result of this, I'm facing 4 years in prison. I will be sentenced on November 3rd as a result of getting that cop off of that woman and stopping that police brutality and that terror against that child. And, well, unfortunately, the mic wasn't on for the first half a minute. Oh, okay. Okay, so I think you should get your police in line and stop the repression going on here. And I know you're not going to, but we're going to be protesting in the street.
And that, of course, was Steve Argue at Santa Cruz City Council last Tuesday in the evening, when every second Tuesday, but not apparently during the special City Council meetings, only the special people get to talk on the special items. They have public comment second and fourth Tuesday, and it was because of confusion around that issue that the mayor cleared the chambers, turned off the mic, shut off the television, and generally, I would say, not only harassed Steve Argue and Jim Costner, but embarrassed herself in the community by cutting off oral communications at a time when she should have done better, should have known better, and this whole council should have known better, considering we're supposed to have a new, improved, public process-oriented city council. This time, there was no such interruptions. They have a new device at city council. It's a little box that kind of comes on with a yellow light 20 seconds before the end of the 3-minute period that you're allowed to speak, and then a red light, and after the red light you are given the hook one way or another, as you heard was happening with Steve. So we've got a number of things happening here, and I want to make sure I have the right tape ready here. Interesting stuff coming up that I'm going to be talking about regarding the the police department. It's been in the, of course, in the eye of the media because of the May 22nd event and its ongoing ongoing concerns that the higher-ups are not disciplining bad officers or controlling the police force, and that there's a policy of laissez-faire regarding discrimination against poor people, homeless people, other people. The police have more power, that is to say, to make the choice to essentially use curbside justice, selectively ticket, selectively punish, then we really should be giving them. And also, there are too many police in Santa Cruz for the size of the town. Too much money is being diverted to them and their projects, like this $13 million albatross, the police station, that now apparently isn't going to open until after January, if it's going to open at all. An interesting point made to me by person I talked to today was that the police are apparently going to use this failure to have their station open as a basis for claiming they can't pass on information to the Citizens Police Review Board about, well, questions like what kind of stops are they making of homeless people. The question was put by Citizens Police Review Board member Sandy Brown, and as all they put the question to Chief Belcher. We'd like to see a map of homeless people. How are they? What are the relative number of stops, and where camping and sleeping tickets given, and other tickets that are homeless related, like open container and so forth. And now apparently they're being told, the CPRB is being told, the Citizens Police Review Board, that they can't get this information because they just don't have it. The equipment isn't together enough to give that information. Pardon my skepticism. I don't know one way or the other. But I find myself wondering here what's going on, particularly since I hear apparently the new intention of the Police Officers Association, and it's, they call themselves a union, but are they a union or what? It's hard to tell. Sort of a privileged guild, it looks like, of police officers. They're going to start challenging every request coming through the Citizens Police Review Board for any kind of information. For instance, Chief Belcher was asked by the Police Review Board to turn over a quarter's worth of inquiries. Those are the minor complaints that Belcher decided way back in 1995 he wasn't going to forward. That was in violation of the law then, and in violation of the police department's own C7 directive, and as I understand it, also in violation of a state code, although I don't have that state code handy. But the police review board was so subservient, and the city manager so agreeable, and the city council under Rotkin and Kennedy and their ilk so friendly to Chief Belcher, that they didn't mind if he violated the law. They didn't take him to jail in a felony trial. They didn't check his policies. No, instead, they said that's just fine. And in essence, what he was doing was he was sidelining a considerable number of complaints into what's called an inquiry process that he then claimed he could keep away from the review of the Citizens Police Review Board. It's all kind of academic, since the Citizens Police Review Board has taken no significant action, really, of any sort on the police department since it was formed. It's begun to make a few motions and noises in the last year with three new members, Brown, Blythe, and Leff, appointed by the three new council members. But it's still struggling with a police-happy majority and a city council that is unwilling to stand up for basic rights and believes somehow that the police department, if you challenge them, it's political suicide, or it's maybe Tim Fitzmaurice would tell us it's bad public policy because we have to trust our local police department. I'm not sure what he's telling us, but he's the guy you'll hear, as you'll hear later today on tapes, that voted for cops on campus, armed cops on campus, more money for the police department, more police officers for Mission Street widening. It's in a series of votes with buyers. It seems to give the lie to the new direction which we hope the city council will be taking after the election last fall, a year ago, when we got the so-called New Deal slate, the slate that we hoped would change things. So, before we get into that, let's take a brief break and expand our horizon for a moment.
NAFTA, we gonna let it all go down. After NAFTA, we gonna let it all go down. We're gonna let your job go down. After NAFTA, we're gonna ship it out of town. We're gonna import cheaper labor, send this plant to our southern neighbor. That is what this treaty's all about. After NAFTA, we're gonna let it all go down. After NAFTA, we're gonna let it all go down. After NAFTA, we'll be able to compete. After NAFTA, but you're gonna be out on the street. We're gonna make our pockets fatter, where the environment doesn't matter. That is what this treaty's all about. After NAFTA, we're gonna let it all go down. After NAFTA, we're gonna let it all go down. After NAFTA, everything's gonna be alright. After NAFTA, ain't no reason to fuss and fight. Cause we're gonna train and educate you, teach you to work for shit like they do. That is what this treaty's all about. After NAFTA, we're gonna let it all go down. After NAFTA, we're gonna let it all go down. After NAFTA, we're gonna let it all go down.
My name is David Silva, 144 Belmont Street. I come
Joining
here tonight to speak
September
to the community
28th,
as a whole,
yeah.
to ask for their support. And the hate-free weekend that we have coming this weekend, the purpose of the hate-free weekend is pretty straightforward. We need signatures on the hate-free zone advisory ballot measure. The problem that we've had is that we've had so much publicity, we've had so much good fortune, we've had so much recognition. The city of Santa Cruz is known all around the world as a hate-free zone now just because we brought it up. We have people, the Chinese press refer to the city of Santa Cruz as the anti-enemy area. So there's all kinds of perception that this is a done deal. But I'm here to tell the public tonight that we're only one-third of the way in the signatures and we've only got 6 weeks to go. So this weekend, the hate-free weekend, and we have signs for any businesses. We have the petition. We did Mary Lagoon this weekend because the co-op invited us. We were very successful there. And we have it both in Spanish and English. I'd like to read Mayor's Proclamation, if I may, for this weekend. Mayor's Proclamation, whereas the city of Santa Cruz should be a place where all persons residing or visiting should be safe from violence and the acting out of hate groups, and whereas the city of Santa Cruz is a friendly town that chooses to make a stand in saying, don't throw your hate around, be tolerant, and whereas locally, hate groups have been increasing the recruitment of our children and attacks upon our homeless, Asians, other people of color, the queer community, Jewish and Catholic cemeteries, seniors and other targets of convenience, and whereas hate groups around the country have declared war on America and her freedoms, now therefore I, Catherine Byers, Mayor of the City of Santa Cruz, do hereby proclaim Sunday, October 3rd, 1999 as Hate-Free Day in the City of Santa Cruz. So Sunday, I'm asking, Saturday and Sunday, students, especially Saturday, up at the Junction from 12 to 2, we'll have a training for people to learn how to be as friendly as possible. All of our signature carriers will be petition carriers wearing the I Love You Man button. This is a friendly campaign. We're not out here to tell people they're not Christian enough because they're not signing this or anything like this. We're here to tell people that it's time for the whole community, the community as a whole, to take a stand against the hate crimes and against hate groups acting up, planning on acting up, having targeting groups going around identifying non-Christian households, and those targeting groups sending that information to operative cells that act independently and attack, whether it be skinheads, whether it be Aryan Nation, whether it be Nazis. We need to stand up as a whole, as a community, and this is all that this resolution does. It does create no new laws, It doesn't take away our freedoms. What it actually does is it protects our freedoms. If a community does not stand when it is being assaulted by hate groups, if a community does not take a stand, then the only recourse will be for us to give up some of our freedoms in the name of security. So what I'm asking for everybody tonight is to think of this weekend as hate-free weekend. Come up to the university at 12 o'clock. Join the common, excuse me, there's several events, and anybody can ask me any kind of questions. I've got leaflets and signatures for you all. Thank you.
And that was David Silva at Santa Cruz City Council two nights ago. You know, I'm interested, I was one of those applauding because I was standing off to the side and I was recording it, of course, and that's the tape you heard. But I really wish David had spoken about the hate crimes that are happening in the last week and a half that the Sentinel is not telling us about. At least six assaults around a week ago on Tuesday night within a period of 24 hours of Tuesday, including attacks on two political activists, an attack on a man who was not homeless but looked homeless, and Lucy Kinmesser, that was her son Frank, wrote about that on Sunday in the Sunday Sentinel. Rocks thrown at two homeless people, Chico and Patches, and then another man assaulted, according to a secondhand story from Dominican Hospital in that same night. And of course, a week later, only a couple of days ago, three youths were attacked by four skinheads in front of Benicio's Liquors, exactly the same place where the two political activists, Will and Ben, were attacked the week before. Police, of course, got there a little too late to help out with the situation. And then we heard of another attack. Actually, it wasn't an attack. It was a man approached by a skinhead as he got off the bus, and he had to run. And he got away at the Metro, but that happened just yesterday. And we were hoping, actually, to interview him, and we'll see if he makes it to the studio. In his place, however, at the moment, we have another guest who can remain anonymous or who can speak as he wishes. Would you like to remain anonymous or to speak? Let's see how your mic is doing.
Hello.
That's good. Well, do you want to give your name or do you want to be anonymous?
Well, my name is Ryan, and I just got a ticket for skateboarding about 15 minutes ago for a reason that I did not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I was skateboarding down this alley, and I got off and started to walk my skate, and immediately this cop just pulled up right behind me, and he wanted to give me a ticket because I told him I was walking my skateboard down the street.
Did he say he'd seen you skateboarding before?
I don't think so.
This is a tall police officer?
Yeah, he was tall and big and
muscularly
bulky.
Built. You know, I saw Officer Eveleth turning as I drove to the studio nearby, and this was, in the area of the studio. How long have you been skateboarding?
For about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. And how many tickets have you gotten?
This is only my second.
And are you simply, do you avoid police, or do you simply have not been harassed, or what's the reason you've not gotten many tickets?
Well, like most skateboarders, I try to avoid the police, and whenever anybody says anything to me, I don't reply back by swearing at them or anything. I just say it's cool and that I'll be leaving, and I don't really throw a fight or anything.
Mm-hmm. How did the police officer treat you as he gave you this ticket?
Not that great. He got mad at me because I said I was lying for walking down the street with my skateboard.
Now, you said you were lying, or he said
that I was lying.
Right, and you. So in essence, did he say he'd seen you skateboarding, or what was the basis of his saying that?
I don't know. I was just walking down the street, and he just asked me what I was doing, and I said I got tired and wanted to walk my skateboard, and he said that I was lying to him, and just because I lied to him, that I got a skateboarding ticket.
What's the situation for skateboarders generally? I know we have the skateboarding park issue coming up, I guess, a city council meeting or two down the road. Are they going to pass it, do you think? Is it going to be important for skateboarders? What's happening there?
I heard that they passed it, but I don't really know because they've already had around probably like 10 spots where they said they were going to put it, and so far everything's fell through.
How do police treat skateboarders generally? Are they tolerant or intolerant?
They're usually intolerant. They kind of like look down on us as we're just causing trouble and just breaking stuff.
And do you think this is a fair characterization of skateboarders?
No, because not all skateboarders are the same. I've met nice skateboarders and mean skateboarders, And not every single skateboarder has a reputation of doing drugs, because most people that I know don't do drugs.
What about, we've been hearing a lot about violence against, black people, Chicano people, homeless people. Have you heard about any of this, young people?
Yeah, all the, Hitler Youth hangs out down at the Metro, and I think that's stupid because it's just a person to me, and I don't think of them different just because of the color of their skin. We're all just people inside, and I have friends that are many different races.
Now you call them Hitler Youth. Why do you call them that name? Is this what they call themselves, or is this how you characterize them?
Well, I characterize them like that, and I guess just because they're skinheads and all, it's just pretty much the same thing.
You mean the fact that they shave their heads close to the skin, or because of something else?
Just how they act and look down on other people.
Have you seen any incidents yourself in the last week or two?
Not in the last week or two, but skinheads have been, mean to my friends. They made my friend kiss their boot just because he was a punk rocker.
And when was this?
This was a couple months ago.
And was it during the day or at night?
It was during the day.
And this was, what, on threat of violence if he didn't?
Yeah.
And how many of them were there?
I think there's around, three or four, and there's only my friend.
Now, were you a witness, or did you just hear about this?
No, he told me about it the next day.
And where did it happen?
Right down at the Metro.
And has the situation gotten worse, better, stayed the same? What's your sense of that?
I think it's staying the same, but I think there's more people that are starting to become more, there's more skinheads coming up by the years go by.
You mean you think there the number of people who are engaging in aggressive, violent, threatening behavior in kind of a gang-like formation with a quasi-Nazi ideology, that's increasing?
Yeah, I've had friends that have turned into Nazis downtown, shaved their head and everything.
Really? Can you give us some idea of what kind of a process this is? I mean, you've known people before they became skinheads and after. Did they change their attitude toward you?
No, I'm still good friends with them. I'm happy I'm friends with them because there's no point not having a friend for an enemy.
And think of someone in particular. Don't give his name, but let's call him Joe. You knew Joe when he wasn't a skinhead.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
That was last year.
And then what happened?
And then he just started hanging out downtown, shaved his head, she shaved her head and left her bangs, and just kind of turned into the whole Hitler Youth.
And did she start urging you to read Mein Kampf and that sort of thing?
No, she's still my friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you say she was into Hitler Youth? Was she into swastika tattoos?
No, or? Not like that far. It's just most of her friends were all Hitler Youth.
And why do you say again, Hitler Youth? What is it exactly that these people do that make you call them Hitler Youth?
That's because back in World War II, the Nazis, there's a Hitler Youth over in Germany. And, it's just kind of hard to explain.
Well, let's take this friend of yours, call her Joe. She's still your friend.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to her about what she's up to?
No, if she's into it, then she's into it. I can't make her change her
opinion. Would you say she's into violent behavior, like beating up people?
No.
Or you think she's witnessed people getting beaten up in her group?
Yeah, most likely.
And how does this please her? Does it displease her? Is she sort of indifferent to it? What do you think?
I don't know.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. Yeah. I realize you're talking about a friend here. What do you do? Have you felt threatened by any of the folks down there who are skinheads?
No.
Because you were friends with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, is there anything you want to say about skateboarding, and how can people... I'd like to see a sort of a broad coalition of people letting... I mean, I take it to some of the skinhead people are skateboarders, right?
Not really. I don't really know that many skateboarders that are skinheads or anything, but...
How about surfers? Many of them surfers?
I have friends that are surfers, but they're not really into the whole...
Hitler Youth thing?
Yeah.
So, as you would put it?
Yeah.
What... If you were to say something to the Santa Cruz community about how police are treating entire youth community, Hitler Youth, surfers, skinheads, skateboarders, you name it, do you have any sense of that as to... I mean, are you... Are people getting a fair deal? Are we grumbling too much here, or are there some problems you think that have to be dealt with?
Well, I think it's good that they're trying to keep the peace and they're trying to do their job, but like I said, they kind of just look down on skateboarders as people that are causing trouble, and they don't even know us, but they just assume that we're causing trouble just to piss people off.
Well, I hope you can fight that ticket, because what is it? It's a $70 ticket?
This is my second one.
What'd you do with your first one?
Well, I was skateboarding down the street, and my friend was skateboarding, and he went up and did a trick right in front of a cop, but he gave her his wrong name and address and everything, and he took off running. So me and my friend were walking up to his house to see if he went up there, and this random cop out of nowhere just pulls us over and asks us for ID, and we said we didn't have any because we didn't. So he makes us sit down on the curb, and he takes down our names, and he wants to search us, and I wanted to know why he wanted to search us, and he said that he couldn't tell me at the time. He could tell me in a couple minutes.
After he'd searched you?
Yeah.
You have a right to refuse a search unless you have a specific clause from a court or a judge that requires you to submit to a search, or unless you're being arrested. These are generally circumstances in which you have to admit, agree to a search. Or if an officer wants to pat you down for a weapon, if he sees a suspicious bulge and he wants to interrogate you, or, for some reason, or he wants to detain you, you don't have to be interrogated, you don't have to answer any questions. Did you object to the search?
I wanted to know why, and I was getting mad that they weren't telling me why they were searching me, because I didn't have a probable cause or a search warrant or anything.
What did the officers tell you? How many of them were there?
There was only one, and it's a completely different cop, because this other cop was female that gave my friend the ticket,
mm-hmm.
and this random cop in a car, this big old buff dude, just hops out of the car and, pulls us over, and I asked him why I pulled us over, and he said he couldn't tell me also.
How did sort of a top secret, huh? How did this all end?
Well, they ended up calling my house and making sure that I'd get picked up at 5:30 in the day for not skateboarding, which I was.
Have your parents given you flack because of this?
No, they thought that the cop did something really stupid for making them come down at 5:30 in the day for doing something that I didn't do.
And how old were you at the time?
I was the same age.
You would say how old that is?
That's 15.
You are under curfew age. Have you ever been threatened with curfew violations?
No, I haven't.
Have you been out after curfew?
Oh, hell yeah.
Uh-huh. Officer. So, what's the story? Are the police enforcing the curfew laws, or are they kind of a dead letter at the moment?
No, I've walked down on Pacific at 12 o'clock at night, and they just cruise by, and they don't pull me over or anything.
That's reasonable, unless, I guess they now have a pretext to pull people over who are young after 11 if they want to, but that they aren't obliged to, I suppose. Listen, I want to thank you and give you a chance to say anything else you want to say that you think is something we should know about.
Yeah, it was actually the cop that gave me the first ticket for, she had, how I put it, just harassed me, 3 times in 2 days. She'll come up to me and, so, did your parents get mad at you for me giving you that ticket? And just, she'll just come up and say stuff like that, and... my friend was smoking a cigarette, and I got a couple drags off it, and she wanted to give me a ticket for possession, and my friend a ticket for contributing to a minor.
Have you considered filing a complaint with the police review board about this?
I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about writing a letter off to them.
They are located, for anyone out there who's interested and who has had a similar experience to our guest here, they're at 915 Cedar Street. Their phone number is, and you can call them at 24 hours a day, 420-6295. 420-6295. If you have a complaint, call them, give them your number. They'll get back to you. They're not part of the police department. They're supposed to be independent of the police department and review the police department. They're actually not very independent, but it's good to file complaints because it allows people in court later to examine them. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
There's 168 hours in a week, and of that, 56 will be taken by sleep, leaving 112 left for you, but if you work 40, that's 72. Eating 3 meals takes 3 hours a day, that's 21 more you can take away, which leaves 51 you might spend at the house, at least 2 a day with a partner or spouse. That's quality time, 14 to be exact, with another 14 if you've kids to subtract. When you figure this time spent with your family, you'll notice you're down to to a mere 23. But we must take an hour to dress and be clean. So take 7 off and you got just 16. Of course, your pets need attention, you know. At least 1/2 hour a day, and that's slow. That's 12.5 hours left in the chute. But we almost forgot to include your commute. Let's say that your drive is 1 hour round trip. That's 5 hours more that you have to let slip. Now what about shopping and laundry and such? That's another 5 hours, and that don't leave much. And I tell you the number, you surely will laugh, for the time you have left is 2.5 hours. That's 21 minutes per day you can spend, which is usually held over until the weekend to watch some TV or a show or a game for 2.5 hours. Now that's a shame. Ain't really enough there to have a good time with this 40-hour work week. It should be a crime. Now all this could change if you listen a bit. If your work week was less, that would take care of it. The time you could have to yourself would be plenty if instead of your 40 hours you could work 20. Just think what that 20 hours extra could mean in learning and playing and living your dream. And the great thing about it is that jobless folk could all be employed then, all in one stroke. No one would toil a full week 9 to 5, but with everyone working, the country would thrive. We'd adjust all the prices of housing and goods and all take more classes and walks in the woods. With guaranteed health care from all who employed you, it's a new plan, a brand of our own perestroika. Radical maybe, but hear what I speak and sing out in praise of the 20-hour week. Sing out in praise of the 20-hour week. Yeah, sing out in praise of the 20-hour week. Yeah.
And that was Mark Levy from Born to be Wired, his latest album, and actually it was a couple years ago. I hope he turns out another one. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, FRSC 96.3 FM, on your radio dial. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norse, coming to you from the hardly very secret studios of Free Radio in Santa Cruz. We actually got some live guests today on Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. That's the name of my show, Civil Rights for the Poor. Civil rights for all of us. And our next guest prefers to remain anonymous. I ran into him at the Wash Rock, and he actually came up to me and was interested because I was handing out flyers on fighting back against trollbusters, hate crimes against homeless people, of which there have been at least 25 assaults in the last 8 or 9 months. And this is a man who is no stranger to such assaults. He's becoming increasingly aware of them. In fact, as I mentioned, he was victimized by a potential assault yesterday. I'm going to ask you to sign in. We'll call you Max. How's that for the purposes of this interview? Hey, Max. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Hey, Max. And you're... what did you think when you read my flyer today in Wash Rock? How did it strike you?
I don't know. I was really glad to see, you know, more people are chipping into fighting back, because it's a definite problem in Santa Cruz, not just everywhere, but definitely in Santa Cruz. It's growing, too.
And the problem, of course, you're speaking of is violence against people.
Yeah, yeah. Just not just homeless people, but homosexuals, people of color, discrimination, things like that.
And you've been in Santa Cruz for how long?
About 4 years now.
And how old are you?
I'm 16.
And what have you noticed? Has there been a change in the climate of violence one way or another?
When I first moved here, I didn't really notice much. I mean, when I talk to people, they have no idea that these kind of things go on, but I didn't really notice it at all. But, you know, I kind of started meeting more people and you know, hanging out and doing more things, and, you know, you just can't ignore it, and I wanted to take a part in it and stop it.
And when did you decide to become more actively involved?
Probably a good year ago, but just, you know, with talking with people and telling them, but then, you know, I really started, you know, me and my friends, it really started to get together and really wanted to make a difference in Santa Cruz.
So you got together, and I guess you've heard about the 6 assaults a week ago Tuesday, 3 people attacked in front of Benicio's a couple of days ago, and then you said you yourself, someone was coming at you in the metro yesterday. Was that accurate? Or
I don't know, I've heard a lot about the assaults, and I usually keep the newspaper clippings and everything like that, you know, just to kind of keep track of it.
Who's doing these assaults and why?
It's hard to say. It's a lot of people just in general think it's funny. I mean, you know, homeless people have rights too, but I'd say a lot of it, or a good half part of it is the Nazi skinheads. They just, it's kind of like a trend of them to beat up homeless people. I guess they think it's really funny and stuff, but it's not, and it needs to be stopped, definitely.
Now, how many, you're obviously not, you don't hang out with the skinheads yourself.
No.
Like, you know, our previous guest has friends who, you know, weren't skinheads, now they are skinheads, and he's still friends with them, but he's not a skinhead, or...
Right.
Actually, I didn't go into the question of whether he was a skinhead. He didn't sound like he was a skinhead.
No, he's not.
Or let's say a bonehead, as I tend to call Nazi skinheads, because of my belief that holding a... If you believe in the inequality of human rights, which seems to be what Nazi ideology speaks of, that some people are superior to others in some profound way, and you can deny the rest of the humanity rights because of their race, because of their skin color, because of their sexual orientation, because of their economic status if they're homeless, that it's okay to treat them like shit and deny them basic rights. I mean, this is nothing new. This is not some great revolutionary theory. It's been done by society, you know, since time began. But to kind of put it forward as some sort of formal philosophy is really kind of bizarre to me. And it's also wrong. I mean, I believe everyone has rights to start with, and that's how we keep ourselves and maintain any basic sense of dignity, is realize that we all have rights. Have you witnessed any beatings yourself in the last month?
Of people in general, or just homeless people?
Well, let's talk about people in general, and then if you know some of them are homeless, mention that.
Let me try to think. I haven't witnessed any, but I've read about a lot, and I've talked to a few friends that have been harassed and pushed around and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a real problem, definitely.
And have you helped form a group that wants to stop this kind of violence or do something about it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, me and my friends and people I talk to in general, I mean, I'll want to do something about it. A lot of people I talk to are just, you know, they say they hate it too, but I want to take a step further and stop it and let them know that they're not welcome.
And how do you think that should be done?
Whether it's like, you know, being the police and going out and take care of ourselves, or it's, or I don't know. I mean,
organizing, perhaps, to get more ideas as to how to deal with it.
Yeah, just letting people know that they are out there. So,
You know, I asked you earlier how people could get in touch with you. What I'm going to suggest, since I don't know if you want to give out a number or a name, and you weren't really into that, but you could, if you want. For those of you, of course, who want, you can call in. Our phone line will soon be open, and the phone line is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. If you've been assaulted, if you've witnessed an assault, if you are concerned about this issue, or alternately, if you're an individual who believes in... that beating up people is okay, that you're a proponent of some of the ideologies that, one of our guests called it Hitler Youth, another said Nazi skinheads, and you want to speak about that, call in. I'm here to talk back to you and to hear what you have to say as well. Number is 427-3772, and the line is open. But if you want to reach our guest, Max, I call him Max because he's remaining anonymous at the moment, you can give a call to either this number, or you can call off-air the Huff line. That's Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And I'll pass on messages to Max as best I can. If you're interested, you being whoever calls in, can get together. Looks like you had something you wanted to... You're consulting there, Max. Did you want to bring
to
our attention?
Yeah, there is a number you can call if you hear about anything, or you see it, or you feel you're being threatened. You can call a voicemail and leave a message. It's open 24 hours a day. The number is 429-2306.
429-2306. And is that an individual's voicemail or an organizational voicemail?
An organization, really, pretty much. Just, you know, if you see anything or you're threatened, just call the number. And
what's the name of the group? Or should we say the name of the group? Looks like it's in the process of being formed, folks. And there's a sort of a gentle birth is happening here. We want that give that birth time to. it's time to happen.
It's in the making, actually. So
it's in the making. So if you're interested in joining, you know, or if you're interested in this situation, give a call again to
429-2306.
429-2306. And here's a quick message on a somewhat irrelevant topic, but not wholly. If you're a Channel 71 watcher, that's cable TV, and you have television tonight from 7:30 to 8:30, those hacks from the Justice Department are at it again, or their local pals in the DARE program who want you to believe that it's somehow going to stop drug abuse by sending people to jail and frightening them out of their wits with bogus information. They're going to have some policies on drug education for the youth. And that's Channel 71, 7:30 to 8:30. And actually, there's supposed to be a lively discussion. Originally, they called on, according to the Good Times, I think, I don't know if it was in the Metro as well, but, you know, the front men and the pimps for the policy that essentially says, you know, throw all this money in the police coffers so they can run around making arrests and making presentations in school about how criminal and evil and unhealthy it is to smoke a joint, which, of course, I thought we learned better, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, but apparently it's big business now, and of course the jails are full of people who are being arrested and their friends, because now there's, of course, a whole network of informants that then goes out, because once a person is arrested, she or he wants to get off, so they're offered a deal if they turn in other people, and it becomes an unending, sticky web which drags down the society around it, and is doing so. But anyway, if you want to get involved in that, Voices from the Village, Channel 71, I believe there's a call-in number, which my producer may have for Voices from the Village, as she's hustling to write that down. I'll pass it on to you when I see it. It is 425-4920. That's if you want to join Voices from the Village. You haven't got a television set, but you still want to put in your perspective about stopping this absurdity around the drug war, which is really a war on people, give a call at 425-4920. And while we're at it, Max, any comments on the drug war? I mean, I know we're concerned about the war against hate crimes and so forth, but this affects everybody. I mean, right? This drug war is a pretty crazy thing.
If somebody wants to go out and smoke a joint, let them do it. Yeah. That's what I say. I mean, it should be free. That's what I think.
Any have you had any drug education classes in your local school here?
It's mandatory to pass, but you know, I've seen movies from the 50s or whatever, like
Reefer Madness.
Yeah, that was the one. Classic.
Now, I mean, they actually showed it to you as a joke, right?
Yeah, I just saw the cover of it and I thought it was really funny.
Well, what kind of drug education do they seriously propose to you in schools here in Santa Cruz?
Just about, you know, pretty much every drug that's out there and like really well educate you, yeah.
So you feel that these courses aren't courses in fear or distortion, but they are accurate courses?
Yeah, they're accurate. They push a lot of fear onto it too, you know. But I mean, experimenting, there's nothing wrong with experimenting at all. So.
And do they say that you should? Do they show you how to safely experiment, or is
no? They say they don't want you to. They don't even mention it. Yeah.
I see. What happens to? I mean, how can a young person learn about how to experiment with LSD or heroin? I mean, hey, let's get wild and crazy here. I mean, there's an upsurge of heroin use here in Santa Cruz. I mean, I'm not suggesting people do this, but if a person does do this, is there any safer road for them to proceed, or do they just sort of wander around downtown looking for somebody with a... I mean, what I'm wondering here is... I don't know. Is there any road that people can follow when they have questions about these drugs, real questions, even questions about experiencing these drugs, that they can follow? Is there a sort of a underground highway?
Yeah, there? I don't know. Talk to close friends about it, definitely, you know. I mean, people that know and be, as far as like using LSD, I mean, be mentally ready. Don't go into it knowing you're not going to have a good time.
Don't wander around on your skateboard in the Metro with a Fight Nazis sign at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, exactly.
Or perhaps even with a swastika for all you Nazi LSD users. I mean, let's be reasonable. Let's include everybody here. Many of your friends in jail?
In and out, just for minor things. But
you know, I mean, I see this... I don't like seeing about these attacks on people, and it really pisses me off. But I find myself thinking that the real tragedy in this whole thing is people fighting each other instead of realizing that they're all getting, you know, kneed in the soft places by police authorities, by the way, you know, the whole job system is set up, by the way the educational system is set up, by the way the society is organized now. And instead of standing together to demand rights, you get people kind of, you know, taking pot shots at each other, beating each other up for fun, and then, you know, mobilizing against each other. I mean, is there any way out of this?
I don't know. Like, you know, the cops, as far as the police, the police are behind them almost. I mean, you know, they'll kick, you know, random kids off the metro, but they won't kick the skinheads or their friends off, you know, because they're friends, it seems almost. You know, they won't. If you're standing on the sidewalk, they'll kick you off. It's just, you know, the downtown organizations, downtown hosts, like, you know, they'll kick you off, give you tickets, whatever. But if it's those guys, they, you know, they don't care. They just let them do whatever they want to do, beat
up
people.
So you're claiming that there's differential enforcement of the downtown ordinances, which are used